Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga is daf Tes Zion. So we're behind. We're back on Tes Vav Amud Aleph. We are starting with the Gemara's, continuing the Gemara's regarding Acher. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Gomer was there. Finish on close. Lupin Zaltzman. I wish everyone a good venture. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a year of health and more Limud HaTorah together. The Gemara in Chagiga is replete with stories regarding Acher. It started yesterday when we discussed the Braisa of four people going into Pardes. Ben Azeb, Ben Zoma, Acher, and Rabbi Akiva. The only one who came out unscathed was Rabbi Akiva. He knew how to handle himself, but the other three, every one of them had a different result. So if you remember Ben Azai, the result of Ben Azai is that he didn't leave. He was there and he stayed. So the Gemara described that he was heitzitz ameis. He looked at the vision of that that parties had to offer, and he died. Ben Zoma came out scathed. He came out nifga. So what exactly that means? Usually means he's lame. And then Rabbi Kiva was nichlas b'shalom v'yasa b'shalom. He goes in peace. He goes out in peace. Rabbi Kiva knew how to conduct himself. And regarding Acher, so the Gemara describes him as just simply kitzitz b'netios. He was cutting down the saplings. He was cutting down the young trees. So again, obviously, all this is Bederech Mashal. It's just a way for us to understand that he was making a mess of the place. He didn't know how to handle it, and he went to Tarbisra. He went and he hung out with a bad element. So what we're describing now in our Gemara is some incidents regarding Acher. Well, what I'd like to do over the course of today is I'd like to get not back up to where we should be, not to get to base, but at least to get to the Mishnah on the bottom of Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a lot of Gemara that we're going to be doing. Coming up ahead, I'm going to be speaking slightly quickly. I apologize for that, but let's get going. So, Acher Kitzitz Minatios, if you take a look at the Gemara in Tes Vav Amud Aleph, we're going to start again from the Gemara now starts the discussion of Acher. It's about a third of the way down the Amud. The Pasuk Kilchola says, don't open your mouth in order to cause your body to sin. So, Mahi. So he sees Mitachron. So in this vision, in this entrance into Pardes, remember Tosfos and Rashi yesterday, they used Shem Hashem in order to get into Pardes, and Tosfos says they didn't go anywhere, they didn't literally go up. It's just this was a mental state. It was an internal state of being in terms of what they did. But okay, so when they're there, they see Matatron, an angel that was writing down the Zchus that he saw, and he was sitting. That was the critical point of the story. And so he couldn't process this information. I understand. Up in Shemaim, we don't sit. There's no competition. There's no back of the head, and there's no ifui. There's no one's tired. So these things don't exist over there. And meanwhile, I'm looking at an entity that's sitting. I don't understand. Shema chas v'shalom beis reshuyos hein. So he says, God forbid, they're shtei reshuyos, right? So he's thinking that this must be another deity. That's what he was thinking. So they took Matzatron and they gave him 60 makas. So I quoted the Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos says not because he was being punished, but just simply to attempt to show Acher that there's nothing to this. There's no he doesn't have a koach. So Amalei Ma'itam Kichazisa Lo Kanta Mikamei. And they reprimanded him. You saw Acher coming in. You should have stood up. How come you didn't stand up? So he said, so permission was granted now to remove the zechuyos of Acher. So Yatzah Basko Vamer Shuv B'Banim Shovevim, and a Basko comes out and says that everyone has a chance of doing tshuva chutz me Acher, with exception to Acher. So at this point in time now, so he feels that he lost his zechuyos, and hearing that Acher doesn't have a chance to do tshuva. So at that point in time, now he goes, he leaves his whole experience, a totally changed man. In fact, hence the name Acher. The Gemara goes on to explain. So it says, look, I'm not getting a chelak in Olam Haba. It's clear now. So at least in the few number of years that I'm here left on earth, so let me at least enjoy myself. Nafik Acher LaTabasra. So he hangs out with a bad crowd. Nafik Ashkach Zona Tava. He sees a prostitute. He solicits her. Amar Leiv Alav Elisha Benavuyat. So she says to him, I don't understand. How could you be soliciting me? You're Elisha Benavuyat. So Acher Pugla Mimishra B'Shabbos, he pulled out a radish from the ground on Shabbos, right? A malacha, the malacha of Kotzer. So V'yavla, and he hands it to her, Amra, so she says, Acher Hu. Oh, so this person is, you're right, you're no longer Elisha ben Avuya, you must be somebody else. Okay, she understood that he went through a change. Shah Acher Rabbi Meir, Acher Shiasa Tabas Ra. So Amalei Mai Dechsiv. And so now what we're going to be seeing is a lot of discussion between the relationship, the Rebbe Talmud relationship between Elisha ben Avuya, who now, from this point forward, will be called Acher, and his Talmud Rebbe Meir. Now it's interesting. The Gemara later on will ask a simple question. Rebbe Meir, how could you be learning from Acher? Right, he's no longer a mammon. So okay, so the Gemara is going to discuss that later. The Gemara is going to ask that question later. Okay, we will get to that. In the meantime, however, a lot of dialogue between the two that we're going to see. So the Gemara says, let's look at the following pasuk in Kohelet. Gamed zulo mazem. The world is a balance. So asalokim amlo komash barakos baruch bar kenegdo. So you notice that there is a balance in this world. Whatever Kosh Baruch Hu created on one side, so Kosh Baruch Hu had a counterbalance on the other side. So bara harim bara gvos, mountains, valleys, bara yamim bara naharos, oceans and rivers. I don't understand how they counterbalance each other, but okay. Amal Rabbi Kiva Rabcha lo amar kach. So he says, you know, interesting, but that's not what your Rabbi Kiva said. Remember, Rabbi Meir had a number of Rebbeim. One of Rabbi Meir's Rebbeim is Rabbi Kiva, right? He learned here in our Gemara. We're gonna speak about how he learned by Elisha ben Avuya, but he also learned by Rabbi Kiva. He says, you know, Rabbi Kiva, your Rebbe didn't say that. Ela bar tzadikim bar rishayim bar ganedim bar gehenim kol echa ve'echa yesh lo beis chalakim. So the way that your Rebbe said it is that, yes, a counterbalance, but in the spiritual world, not in the physical world. So there's tzaddikim, there's rishayim. There's Gan Eden, there's Gehenim. And everyone has two chalakim. So echa b'Gan Eden, echa b'Gehenim. And so we all start off with a chalak in both, meaning we all have free choice. We all have an ability to go to either side. Zachat tzaddik nato chalka v'chalak chaveiro. So if you're zochet, so you're not only going to get your chalak, but you'll get the chalak of others who didn't get Olam Haba. So Gan Eden. So v'chelak chaver b'gan Eden, nischai rasha nato chelka v'chelak chaver b'gehenim. And when a rasha sins, he's going to get his own chelak of Gehenim, and he's going to get any tzaddik's chelak, any unused portion of Gehenim that was not used by the tzaddikim. So it's very interesting. Obviously, you know, I have such a limited understanding, but obviously, what the Gemara is basically saying is that these are chalakim, these are portions that are, you know, that are fixed. In other words, they're not. They don't just simply dissipate. Amar Rav Mishar Shemai Kra Gabi Tzadikim Ksiv Lachin Baratzam Mishana Yershu Gabi Rishayim. I'm sorry, Mishna Yershu. So they're going to inherit a double portion. The word Mishna is a reference to a double portion. Gabi Rishayim Ksivu Mishna Shivaron Shivram. And regarding the Rishayim, it says they're also going to lose the double portion. So again, the context of what we're discussing, we now understand the double portion. What does that mean, double portion? Meaning that they're going to get their chalik and any unused chalik of those who are not going to get. Shalach Acher is Rabbi Meir. Another question that was asked from Acher to Rabbi Meir. L'Acher Shiatz L'Tabasra. And this is after he defected. After he now is hanging out with the wrong crowd. My dichsev lo yarechenu zav zechuchis v'timrosa klipaz. So you can't have a value for gold and glass and whatever it's exchanged for klipaz. Amelo elu devetor shekashen l'knosem k'klizav klipaz. So this pasuk in Iyov is a description of Torah. Torah are difficult to acquire, like gold and like paz. Okay, it's hard. Torah is hard, and it's hard to make an acquisition on Torah. And it's also fragile. It's delicate. It's like glass. It breaks like glass. So Amar Rabbi Kiva Rabcha lo amar kach. So he says once again, that's a nice pshat, but that's not what your Rebbe said. Your Rabbi Kiva said differently. Rabbi Kiva says there's always a chance. Just like when glass breaks or when gold breaks, so you can fix it. Glass is a little harder to hear. But you melt it. Yeah, right. You melt it down and you put it back together again. Okay, but still, right, everything's fixable, and a Tamachachem is fixable as well. Tamachachem who leaves the derech is fixable. So and mind you, this is Acher saying this in the name of Rabbi Akiva, to which now the Gemara asks the obvious question. So Rabbi Meir asks Acher the obvious question. Amalo afatach hazorbach. Okay, good. Beautiful drasha. So good. So now, good. Time for you to do tshuva, right? So Amalo kvar shamati me'achorei ha'parko tshuva barim shofim chutz me'acher. So he says, look, I heard Acherei ha'parkot on the other side of the curtain that, no, everyone can do tshuva except for Acher. Acher can't do tshuva. So again, so in the context of what we're saying, the Gemara doesn't say this, but you know, it's intimated. It certainly seems this way that he heard this, but he didn't. That's not what actually was said. Meaning that it sounds more like a built an excuse that he created for himself in order so that he doesn't do tshuva. Meaning, but Rabbi Kiva's drasha is Tamid Chacham Amosik can return. Tana Rabbana Maisaba. The Gemara tells another incident. This is a brisa where Acher was riding on a horse and it was Shabbos. It's a rabbinic prohibition of riding a horse on Shabbos. So Rabbi Meir Ma'alcha Acharav and Rabbi Meir is walking around side by side. So Lomo Torah Mipiv, because Rabbi Meir wants to learn Torah. So Amalo Meir Chazol Acharecha Shekvar Shiar to Beik Veisus Akan Tchum Shabbos. Amazing. So the brisa says that The Acher turns to Rabbi Meir while riding on his horse, and Acher says to him, look, we're about to leave Tchum Shabbos. Meaning, I know, I've been counting. I personally, I don't care. I'm going to keep going on my horse. But I know you're sensitive. It's Shabbos. I know you care about Shabbos. So I'm going to continue going, but you have to stop over here. Amalei afatach chozorbach. So he says, okay, how about this? How about you don't go also? You stay. And you don't go beyond Tchum Shabbos. So I'm alive. V'lo kvar amarti lach kvar shemati ma'achori ha'parkot shuvah banim tshovavim chutz me'acher. And then Elisha ben Avuya gives a standard line of, no, everyone else can do tshuva, but I can't do tshuva. I heard shemati achori ha'parkot that I can't do tshuva. Tak ve'elai lebe midrasham. He grabs him, Rabbi Meir grabs Acher, forces him to bring him to the base medrash. I'm alive li'inuka psok li'psukech. And he says to a child, cite me a pasuk. We see this all the time in the Gemara, where they turn to children, they ask children to say a pasuk, and it's a form of Ruach HaKodesh, Bas Kol, right? It's the innocent child just saying a pasuk, Mesiach Lefi Tumo, just rolling off his lips. It's a little peek into what's going up in Shemayim. So he turns to the child and he says, okay, let me hear a pasuk. Amalo Inshallah Mamar Hashem L'Rishayim. There's not going to be peace for the Rishayim. Okay, so and Acher is hearing this, and Acher is obviously understanding that this pasuk goes in reference to him. Ile be kenishta achrita. He goes to another shul. Amalei linuki psuk li psukech. And again, challenges the child to quote him a pasuk. So amalo ki im techapsi benesef tarbilach baris nechtam avonech lefanai. So he says, look, you could wash yourself out with a detergent and soap, and you're still going to have a stain on you. Okay, so again, so the psukim that he keeps hearing again and again is, forget about it. You're lost. You're not gonna. Your tshuva is not gonna be acceptable. So, Ayla. Yeah. Correct. And again, right. You hear what you want to hear. Meaning, I don't know this, but I'm suggesting that that's not the only pasuk that was stated. But he heard it. He heard what he wanted to hear. So Ayla Lebe Kenishta Achrita, another shul. Amalei, we're now on the top of Tezvavam and Beis. Leinuk Psok Lipsukech, okay, let me hear another pasuk. Amalei, Va'ash Shadud, Ma Ta'asi Ki Tilbashi Shani Ki Ta'adi Adi Zahav, Ki Tikri Befuch Einecha, L'Shav Titipi, Tisyafi. Basically, you're dressing up for no reason. Meaning, you look wonderful, you look beautiful, but it's totally in vain. Forget about it. There's not a chance. So Ayla Bekinishta Achrita, another shul. Ayla Kleista Bekinishta. 13 different shuls that Rabbi Meir was dragging Elisha ben Avuya around. And Kula Paskele Ki Hai Gavna. And all the psukim sounded exactly what we just described. There's no, you have no chance, you have no hope. It is for naught. Labasa Amalei Psukli Psukech. In the last shul, by the 13th. So he says, let me hear another pasuk. Amalei L'Rasha Amar L'Kim Malach L'Saper Chukai. See, to the Rasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you're gonna start speaking about my laws? You're a Rasha, you can't speak about my laws. So Ayinuka have a megamgem belishna. And the child was stuttering as he was trying to produce these words. Ishtame kamada amarle ula Elisha. Now it says the Pasuk says ula Rasha, but if not articulated well, so it sounds like ula Elisha. And again, I'm suggesting, Rashi doesn't say this, But I'm suggesting that it's when you want to hear something, so you hear it even if that's not what's actually being stated. So the pasuk says Ula Rasha, but he kept hearing Ula Elisha. So the Rasha, and that's what he heard. Kama da Amar Lei Elisha. Amar Lokim Ika da Amre. So I'm sorry. Amar Lokim Ika da Amre Sakina Ava Baaday Vekare Vesharja Letleisar Bekinishta. So the Gemara has one version of the story. The first version of the story is unbelievable, and that is he took a knife and he chopped the child into 13 pieces, then he dispersed the pieces of the child to the 13 shuls that he was at. And then the other version is a tamer version of what occurred, and that is that he says, if I had a knife, I would have done it. But he didn't actually do it, he just simply made a threat to do so. Tamer. But obviously, still unbelievable. We're now describing the post mortem of Acher. He dies, and here now the yeshiva shamala, the Beis Din shamala, is really troubled in terms of what to do. Here's the problem: he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, Yaslo Tarbus Ra, he's off the reservation. So what do we do with such an individual? And the Gemara tells us he didn't know. So we can't judge him, but at the same time we can't bring him to Olam Haba. Lo meidlan danei mishem dasik baraisa. So to judge him in Gehenem, look, he's a Talmud Chacham. He knows Torah. And v'lola amadasi, but on the same time to bring him to Olam Haba, leisa mishem dechet. On the other hand, he sinned. So Amar Rabbi Meir mutov dili danei v'leisa l'amadasi. So Rabbi Meir says, no, look, listen, this limbo state that he's in is terrible. Terrible. So Rabbi Meir says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring him to Gehenna. But the reason why I'm going to do that is so that he gets judged, and so that ultimately he's going to go to Olam Haba. Okay, so Rabbi Meir says, I'm going to do that. Now Rabbi Meir on this earth can't do anything, so Rabbi Meir can only do it after he dies. So, Masai Amos, so that's exactly what happens. When I die, so I'm going to bring him to Gehenna. So out of context, it sounds crazy. You're going to take your Rebbe and bring him to Gehenim, but in context of the story, it totally understood. So ve'ela asha mikivro. And what's going to happen is that when I die, what are you going to see? You're going to see smoke coming out of not my kever, but you're going to see smoke coming out of Acher's kever. Because basically, I'm going to bring him down to Gehenim. And the simon is that smoke is going to come out of his kever. So kinach now shed the Rabbi Meir salakutra mikivre da'acher, exactly as Rabbi Meir predicted. After the death of Rabbi Meir, smoke started ascending from the grave of Acher. Am Rav Yochanan gevurta lemikle rabbe. Rav Yochanan says that's great to burn your Rebbe. Okay, I know that Rav Yochanan over here seems to be very highly critical of this action of Rabbi Meir, even though obviously Rabbi Meir meant it for the best, but Rav Yochanan was very critical. So he couldn't save him. So what I'm going to do, says Rav Yochanan, is that after I go to the Olam HaEmes, I'm going to grab him by the hand. I'm going to bring him to Gan Eden. Who's going to stop me? So Amar Masai Amos Ve'echbe Ashan Mikever. And he says, look, here's what's going to happen. When I die, the smoke that's coming out of Acher's kever is going to stop. Kinachnav shed Rav Yochanan, the Gemara continues. Rav Yochanan dies. Pasa kutra mikivrei da Acher. The smoke stopped coming from the grave of Acher. Pasa chalau safdana. And the eulogizers, realizing what happened. So when they eulogize Rav Yochanan, here's what they said. Afilu shomra pesach lo amad lefanecha rabbeinu. Even the guard of the door couldn't stand in the way of Rabbeinu. It could stand in the way of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was able to go through the doorway of Gan Eden. But that in of itself wasn't the great feat. The great feat was he had Acher in tow. He took Acher and he brought him through the gates of Gan Eden, and the Shomer couldn't stop him. Okay.
How did he judge Acher? I
hear your question. For me to comment would be really okay. Peter Acher Asya Lekame de Rebbe. The daughter of Acher goes in front of Rebbe. So Amr Le Rebbe Parnaseni, she asks to be supported. Amr Labim Basmiat. So she says, so Rebbe says, okay, could you please identify yourself? So Amar lo bita shel Acher. Okay, she identifies herself, daughter of Acher. Ani, Amar lo adayin yesh mizara ba'olam. So Rebbe just couldn't even believe it, that there's a descendant to Acher in this world. So he says, I understand it, but isn't the nation of a Russia that he's totally cut off? It's right, much like the idea of Kares, the concept of Kares, is that not only do you get cut off, but your children get cut off as well. How could there even be a child to Acher? So Amar lo zechor l'Torah tov v'atzizkor ma'asav. So the daughter says to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, let's do the following. Let's remember, right, my father was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. Okay, granted, his actions didn't speak to that. But let's separate the two. So, miyad yarda esh v'sichzecha sifstolo shel Rebbe. And a fire descends from heaven and singes the chair of Rebbe. Meaning, min ha-shamayim, she was right. So, bacha v'ama Rebbe, oma limitagnin ba, kach lemishtabchen ba, alach is kama v'kama. Oh my gosh. All right, I repudiated him. And this is what happened to me. Could you imagine what's going to happen to those people who praise him? Meaning, let's not take this matter lightly. And here now the Gemara is bothered by the question, which is, how can Rav Meir spend so much time learning from Acher? Acher Yassel Tarbus Rai was a bad influence. Yes, he was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, but he's a bad influence. And usually in the world of getting a Rebbe, bad influence is going to trump Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, how could Rabbi Meir learn from Acher? We just saw this back in Moed Katan. The Pasuk of Malachi says that in order to learn from somebody, he has to be Doma Lamalach, has to be similar to an angel. So regardless of what he knows and his acumen in Torah, who cares? He has to act, he has to behave like a Malach Hashem, has to be Doma LaMalach Hashem. How could Rabbi Meir learn from Acher? A simple, basic question of the Gemara. Amar Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir, Kara Ashkach V'Darash. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rabbi Meir had Pesukim supporting his viewpoint. Where the Gemara is going to cite two Pesukim. Number one, Hat Az Nechashma Divrei Chachamim, V'Libcha Tashis L'dati. So listen to the Chacham, and then your heart should turn to me. What do you mean your heart should turn to me? Shouldn't your heart turn to the Talmid Chacham? So ladatam lo namar ladati. So it means then that we're describing some Talmid Chacham who is knows a lot but doesn't behave correctly. So listen to him, meaning he's got what to say, but don't follow him. That's one pasuk. Another pasuk, Rabbi Chanina amar me'achas shemibas u'reivati aznech v'shichechi amech u'beis avich. So another pasuk would describe the same basic idea. So listen carefully, but forget your family. So again, in the context of what we're discussing, it means that you're learning from a Talmid Chacham, but at the same time, don't follow the Talmid Chacham. He was right. Achirim. I don't know. Kashu cry ahadade. Here's the problem. The problem now is that the truth of the matter is that we're all confused. Because the Pasuk of Malachi says in order to have a Rebbe, so your Rebbe has to be Dama L'malach Hashem. On the other hand, Pasuk in Mishle, Pasuk in Tehillim give scenarios in which you can learn Torah from people who are not behaving correctly, but still, if the Talmid Chacham, you should learn by them. So the truth of the matter is the kasha is not on Reb Meir, the kasha is really on the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, Lokasha habagad lahabakatan. So the Gemara says it depends. It depends on the development and maturity of the student themselves. If the student is a gadol, take a look at Rashi. Here I read Rashi. So Rashi is towards the top of the Amud. Hayodeli zahir shaloyumon ma'asav yachulam otar mipiv. So if you know how to be careful, meaning you're an adult, you already have a knowledge base and you can separate. Right, kids have a hard time doing this. Right, very hard time doing this. Right, they see hypocrisy and they don't know how to process that. Okay, when you get older, I don't know why, but we have an easier time, right, handling hypocrisies. We understand. He says one thing, he does another thing. Right, okay. So you get older, you get a little more sophisticated. You understand. It's not right, obviously, but we somehow can process that. So you can learn from somebody even though their actions do not speak to the to that which they're saying. So, but if you're a katan and you're a minor over here, you're younger, you're impressionable. So then, no. So then you can't go to somebody who's not behaving that way. So, okay, the Gemara gives a very basic distinction, and obviously in the answer, the Gemara is obviously saying that Rameir was a gadol. I mean, there's already a learned Talmud Chacham, student of Rabbi Akiva, and at that point in time, he can learn Torah by Acher. Okay, Tosos is bothered back in the Gemara Moed Katan because there was a Talmud Chacham who had a bad reputation, and he was placed in Cherem, and Tosos is bothered, well, why don't we just say the same thing? That, you know, in other words, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's not behaving well, but okay, let right. Anyway, okay, much more to discuss about this. We're going to go on in the Gemara. The expression they used in Eretz Yisrael to describe that is that he ate the fruit of the date, and what did he do with the pit? He spit the pit out. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Is that, again, same basic idea. Rameir was able to learn the Torah of Acher, but in terms of the actions, okay, he was able to discard that. Shichla Lebra. He threw the pit outside. We're describing the ginasagos. Ginasagos some sort of nut. I think it's a walnut, but not sure. Lama nimshol tamachacham laagos, but the tamachacham is compared to an agos, and how so? Lama lach maagos afapishem luchlach betiriv itzoa. Look, the goz has a shell around it, and so therefore it could be in dirt, it could be in excrement. Ein masha betocho nemas. But the contents are pure. And you can have a Talmud Chacham, and he could be dirty, but still the Torah content that's inside is still pure. Rava Barshila encounters Eliyahu, and he asks, "What is the Kadosh Baruch Hu doing now?" So he's saying over the Torah of all the Chachamim. So, but he's not saying over the Torah, Rabbi Meir. So, Amarle Amai Mishum Dekag Amar Shemaitem Ipumed Acher. So he says very simple explanation because he learned his Torah from Acher. Amarle Amai Rabbi Meir Rimom Matzah Tocho Achol Klipos Ozarak. So he says, what do you mean? I don't understand. Says Tekash Baruch Hu. It's like eating a Rimon. Okay, Erev Rosh Hashanah, unbelievable. See, it's like eating a Rimon. So what does he do? So he eats the inside, but the outside, but the klipa he throws away. So that's what Rabbi Meir did with all the Torah of Acher. He heard the Torah, but he threw away the pit. He threw away the shell. Amalei Hashakamar Meir Bini. So Omer Bizman Shadam Itzar Shechina Malashon Omeres. So I'm sorry. Hashakamar Meir Bini Meir my son Omer. So in other words, as Rashi points out over here, Kadosh Baruch Hu heard the argument. Kadosh Baruch Hu was moved by the argument. Again, all this is so hard to understand. But basically the Gemara is saying that's a good point. You're right. In other words, we're able to separate the Torah from the person. And so it's an Achanami. So next time, Kadosh Baruch Hu quotes Reb Meir, he says, Reb Meir Bini, my son. Bizman she'adam mitzar shechina ma'alashon omeres. So when people are in pain, what does the Shekhinah say? Kalani Meroshe, Kalani Mizrawi. So my head is heavy, my arms are heavy. Kadosh Baruch Hu aches kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding. So im kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu misar al daman shal rishayim kavacham al daman shal tzadikim. Now if that's how he feels about rishayim, meaning those are people who suffered and were punished for their poor actions, for their bad actions. Can you imagine how Kadosh Baruch Hu reacts when a tzaddik is going through bad times? More than bad times. I'm speaking really gently over here. Right? When tzaddikim are killed, can you imagine how Kadosh Baruch Hu's reaction? Shmuel sees Rav Yehuda. That was Shmuel's student, main student, Rav Yehuda, who was leaning on the side of the bolt of the door. Every time you see that in the Gemara, you know that the person is under some mild depression. And he says kabachin, and he's crying. I'm like Shinana, my kabachis. So Shinana, that was the nickname that Shmuel had for Rabbi Yehuda. It means that Rabbi Yehuda was very sharp. So Amalei Mizutre my dechzibahu berabanan ayesofer ayesokal ayesofer as amigdalim. So the pasuk says Where's the Sofer? Where's the Shokel? And where's the Sofer? It's Amigdalim. The Gemara is going to explain each point of this pasuk. Ayei Sofer Shayisu from Kol Osio Shabbatora. The Sofer, that's the description of Talmidei Chachamim, who were so careful, so meticulous about the Torah, they counted every letter of the Torah. Ayei Shokel Shayishokum Kalam V'chamer Shabbatora. And the Shokel, Kavachomer, meaning darshaning the Torah using the methodology of Kavachomer. And Ayei Sofer Samagdum Shayishon Gimel Meos Halachas B'megdal Aparech Ba'avir. 300 halachas regarding the tower that's floating in the air. A very ambiguous reference to what? Rashi himself is unclear. Rashi says three different pshatim in terms of what exactly this means. Rashi says, Rashi migdal parech ba'avir. Some say yesh mefarshin shedarshin gova shel lamed, that it could be the top of the letter lamed. It's floating in the air. The only letter in the aleph base where you have a portion of it going up. And explanations in terms of why that should be. Yesh or Migdal Dor HaFlaga. Or maybe it's the tower built by the Dor HaFlaga. And Li Nere Migdal Pasuch La'avir Gassin Mehem Elchus Oalos. Or Rashi offers a third shot that has to do with the halachas of an Oel. Either way, the point is very simple. New Torah, a new Torah to unbelievable depths. V'amar Rabbi Amit Klas Me'abayi Ba'u Dog V'achitofa B'migdal Parech Ba'avir. And Doeg and Achitofel were able to discuss these 300 various halachas. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the 11th Perek, the Mishnah over there says that there are those who are not going to receive a portion of the Olam Haba, and two of those are Doeg and Achitofel. And meanwhile, they're unbelievable Tamid Chachamim. Ana Mate Have Alan. So we who are not on that kind of level of Talmud Chacham, so what are we going to do? So Amar Leh Shinana. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, don't worry. Meaning, there's a difference between them and us. The difference is Tina Haisa Belibam. Tina Haisa Belibam, their heart was dirty. Meaning that there was an internal impurity inside of them. That even though they knew Torah, they learned Torah, they understood Torah to its very depth, but meanwhile the heart was dirty, and that's why they're not going to get a chelak in Olam Haba. We don't have to worry. So now basically what the Gemara is saying is that there's something wrong with the foundation of Achitofel, Doeg, and now we're going to include in that list now Acher as well. So there was a fundamental issue. So the Gemara says now regarding Acher, what is that fundamental issue? We are on test Vav Amud Beis, but towards the bottom of the Amud. So Acher, Mai. So what exactly was that fundamental Tina, the dirt that existed in Acher? The Gemara is going to offer two explanations. Number one, Zemer Yavani La Pasuk Mi Pume. So number one, he was singing Greek songs. Okay, so now in of itself, we could say in the Gemara that he's singing Greek songs, meaning in that he was influenced by the modern culture and the modern society around him, and it warped and it distorted him to his core. If you take a look at Rashi, however, Rashi does not seem to suggest that. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Zemer Yivanu lo pasuk mi beiso, v'ayelo lahaniach b'shul chorban abayis." Rashi writes that what he should have done is he should not be singing because of the chorban beis hamikdash. Tichsiv b'shir lo yishtu yayin. So Rashi says it's a function of Acher not having any concern or care for the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's how Rashi understands it. And Rashi seems to be not focusing on the fact that it was Zemer Yevani. Okay, but certainly we could see the Yevani being the core flaw in Acher. Amar Lav Acher B'Shash Haya Omid BeBeis HaMikdash Har Beis Sifrei Minim Noshrin Mecheko. So as he's walking through the Beis Medrash, Rashi says this is talking about before he turned to the other side. So when he was walking through the Beis Medrash, so heretical books were coming out of his lap, meaning that on the side he was learning his Torah, Shebechsav Torah Shebal Peh, but on the side he was also engaging in heretical literature as well, and that is another core flaw in Acher. That is the end of the Gemara regarding Acher. Do you want more on Acher? I mean, probably the answer is yes. Okay, I'm not going to do it now. I told you I'd like to get to the Mishnah. So I'm going to go ahead in the Gemara. But I encourage you, over. If you want to see more and you want to go more in depth into this discussion, so go back to Tezvav Amud Aleph and take a look at Tosfos. There's a long Tosfos that starts from the top of the Amud to the bottom of the Amud, where Tosfos basically goes over bonus on Acher, where he quotes the Yerushalmi. Gemara Yerushalmi is where the Gemara Yerushalmi gives more incidents and more explanations in terms of what caused Acher to go astray, right? Like I say this many times, I really believe this, right? We are only given just a small glimpse in terms of who Acher was, what caused his demise, and it's just a sliver, it's just a small amount of it. And Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi, where you can find more on this discussion.
So I hope that he did make it all another.
Yeah. Correct. The route he took was right, a circuitous route to say the least. But yes, in other words, there was right the Yesh Tikva. There was definitely hope. Okay, we are now in the Gemara on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Beis. And Shal Nimus Hagardias Rabbi Meir. So Nimus Hagardi, he was a weaver. So he asked Rabbi Meir, Kol Amar Denachis Liyaris Salik. You know, I don't understand. When you put the wool in the pot in order to collect the dye, so you know what happens? The wool gets the color. So I'm not following what Acher is learning all that Torah. It doesn't change him, it doesn't affect him. So Rabbi Meir's response is, the wool's got to be clean. If the wool's not clean, so then it's not going to collect the dye. So in other words, again, it's the same basic idea. There was a fundamental flaw in the development of Acher as a Torah student. And so because of that, so therefore the Torah never took, right? And in my mind, my simple analogy is that you try painting, right? I've done this a couple times now. You try painting a wall, but the wall's not clean, and it's just the paint is not going to stay. You got to clean the wall first. Rabbi Akiva, Allah b'shalom, yar b'shalom, v'alav ha-kasav omer. Now, regarding Rabbi Akiva, he was nichnas b'shalom, and he was yotze b'shalom. And the pasuk says, the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, Mishkenei Acherecha Nerutzah, right? He escaped unharmed. So Av Rabbi Akiva Bikshu Malach Esharos Ladoch Chafo. So and the Malach Esharos wanted to push Rabbi Akiva. So Amar Lamekash Baruch Hu Nichlu Zaken Zesher Early Shamish Bichvodi. And Akash Baruch Hu protected Rabbi Akiva. No, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to handle my honor. My drash, Rashi over here offers two explanations of what the Gemara's question actually is. Take a look at the top Rashi and Tazayin Amaral. Rashi writes, either number one, Mehechen Evi Malka Mashchina Shenizda Shalom Shalom. So number one, Rabbi Kiva knew not to look. Okay? I write, in other words, the other three Tanaim who went in with Rabbi Kiva, they looked, they gazed. Okay? And each one of them had their own dilemmas because of that. Rabbi Kiva went in, but he knew not to look. So that's Rashi says, number one, one explanation of the Gemara is, how do you know not to look? Inami, back in Rashi, Shilotaa, Kemoshita Acher. Or he didn't make the same mistake that Acher made. What was Acher's mistake in Pardes? That he saw Matatron and he thought, oh, that's another deity. That's another Koach. Rabbi Akiva saw the same thing, but he knew that it was not another Koach. That's the second Pshan Rashi in terms of what the Gemara is actually asking. So my Drash Amar Rabba Bachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Asa Merivos Kodesh, Ostu Berivavo. It is a sign amongst tens of thousands. Shalom. Rabbi Abba Omar Dagul Miravava. Same basic idea. Someone who was special amongst tens of thousands. Dugmahu Biravava. Shalom. Reish Lakish Amar Hashem Tzvakosh Shemo Adonu B'Tzava Shalom. He is the master of the Tzava. Rabbi Chia Bar Avam, Rabbi Yochanan Lo Baruch Hashem V'Acher HaRuch Rash Lo Barash Hashem V'Acher HaRash Eish Lo Ba'Eish Hashem V'Acher HaEish Kol Demama Daka V'Hinei Hashem Over. And again, just unbelievable how Erev Rosh Hashanah Kol Demama Daka. We're going to hear that a number of times over the next couple of days. But the basic idea, now, it's the Gemara here doesn't do much in terms of explanation. One in 10,000, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Adon, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not located in any of that, but rather called the Mamadaka. So according to Rashi's second pshat, I think I totally get it. The basic idea is that he understood that there was only Yichud Hashem, there was only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So anything he sees that may give the appearance off that it has another Koach, Rabbi Kiva understood, it's not another Koach. It's just not. He understood that. According to the first pshat, how did these psukim indicate to Rabbi Kiva that he wasn't supposed to look? I'm not totally sure. I don't fully understand how these psukim per se give us the sense that Rabbi Kiva wasn't supposed to look. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dram Nemo B'Shedim Shoshikamach Shoshikamne Adam. Gemara over here describes the Shedim. So the Shedim are a hybrid. They're somewhere between us humans and the Malach Hasharis. Shoshik Malach Hasharis Yeshlam Kanafayim Kamalach Hasharis. They have wings like the Malachim. V'tasim Yisofa Olam V'Asofo. Being able to fly from one end of the earth to the other. Kamalach Hasharis V'Yodim Ashasi Liyos Kamalach Hasharis. And they know the future, just like Malachim. To which, at which point, the Gemara just interrupts this brisa for a simple question. Really, the Malachim know? Yodim Sakadach Elos Shomim Echrei Pargod Kamalach Hasharis. No, there's no. The Akash Baruch Hu knows the future. What the Malachim are able to do is listen in, put the ear to the door, and able to overhear, shade them as well. They're able to listen in, but not that they have a yediyah per se. Shoshik ibn Adam, and at the same time, the shade them in three respects are like humans. Ochlan v'shoshik ibn Adam, they eat. Parim v'ravim ibn Adam, they procreate. And umesim ibn Adam, and they also have a finite amount of time where they exist, just like humans. It's a good question, and you know I don't know the answer. So we continue. Umesim kivnei adam. Shisha dra nemru bivnei adam. So six things that are said regarding humans. Shoshka malach esher shoshka behema. And humans are like malachim and we're like animals. So shoshka malach esher yeshlam das. So number one, we have cognition. Number two, kamalach esher. Omahachim becomes kufa kamalach esher. We walk vertically. We walk erect. Umesaprim b'lashon hakodesh kamalach esher. And we're able to speak lashon. We're able to speak lashon hakodesh just like the malachim. Right, and every time there's a tefillah that comes in Aramaic, it's because a tefillah is not intended for the malachim that goes directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Kaddish. Right, when we say Kaddish, we say it with a minyan, because the Shechina is together with the minyan. So therefore, we could say it in a language other than Lashon HaKodesh. Shlosha kebehema, ochlem v'shosin kebehema, parim v'ravim kebehema, u'mosim rei kebehema. And what is the animalistic sides of the human being? So we eat, we procreate, and we excrete, just like animals. Looking at four things, better that you shouldn't have been created. I understand not to look up and down and towards the future. But looking behind you, remember the Mishnah? Where Rashi in the Mishnah quotes that he thinks that what the Gemara means is not to look spatially, not to look up, down, east, or west. And if you remember the Tosfos on the Rashi, Tosfos says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. What the Mishnah means is not to look spatially and not to look in terms of time, not to look forwards and not to look backwards in time. And he says, this Gemara right over here would seem to support the pshat that we're talking now, not spatially, but we're talking in terms of time. So my Dahavahava, the Gemara says, looking behind, I understand what's the big deal. It happened already. Who cares? So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, Rav Lazar, Amitavaya, Mashal Melech Basav Adam, Sha'am al Avada, Benuli Pachin, Gedolam al Ashba. So the Gemara says, look, I'll give you a mashal. It's like a king instructing. You see that garbage heap over there? Let's build the palace right on top of the garbage heap. So Hachu Banu Lo. So they built it. And the palace was beautiful. And if you didn't know any better, you wouldn't have known that it was built on top of a garbage heap. So Ein Ritzon Shel Melech Lahazkir Shem. Shem Ashpa. Obviously, the king doesn't want any mention of it. The Nimshal is that, well, good, the world is created. What is the world built on? Let's not talk about it. Meaning, it's not for us to discuss what the world is built on. Okay. The Gemara says, not having proper honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that in reference to? The Gemara is going to offer two pshatim. Number one, Rabbi Abraham Azam Asaka Bekeshes. Looking at a rainbow. Rav Yosef Amar is there over Avera B'Seser. Violating an Avera while in private. Mistaka B'Keshes Dichsiv. Looking at a rainbow, the Gemara says, that's not having proper respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should that be? Dichsiv Kamarei Keshes Asher Yebanan. B'Yom HaGeshen. Kemare Hanoga Saviv. Humari Demus Kvod Hashem. It is looking at a rainbow, it's looking at the Kavod Hashem, looking at the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in respect to the Gemara that we have just spent the last 3 days learning, right, you're not allowed to look directly at the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and looking at a rainbow is like that. The Gemara over here uses the word mistakel. Mistakel means to gaze, means to fix your eyes. To take a glance, obviously, is fine. In fact, you can ask the obvious question. There's a bracha that you're supposed to make when you see a rainbow. Clearly, there's a value in seeing a rainbow. There's a bracha that we say when seeing a rainbow. So over here, maybe the answer to the question is that since Hamistaka. Rav Yosef Amazel over Aver B'Seser, Kid Rabbi Yitzchak. So another explanation of not having proper honor is like the statement of Rav Yitzchak, Dam Rav Yitzchak, called over Aver B'Seser Kilo Doche Gragle Shechina. When you commit an Aver in private, so you're saying, hey, look, nobody sees me. Nobody sees you. Right. Correct. No human being sees you, but Akash Baruch Hu sees. So Shenemer, Karma Hashem, I'm sorry, Karma Hashem, Shemaim Kisiva, Arts Adam Raglai. So Eini, the Gemara says, Va'am Revela, Hazakin, Imro Adam Shitzrom, is Gaber Alav. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. We do have a statement made by Revelai, and that is that if a person's Yetzer Hara is getting the best of him, so what should he do? Yelach l'makom she'im makir noso. Go to a place where no one recognizes you. V'yel b'shchorim v'yitate shchorim. And wear black clothing and wrap yourself up in black clothing. V'yaseh mashali b'chafetz. And get it out of your system. V'al yechal shem shemayim before I ask you. But do not create a chela Hashem. So the Gemara says that, look, doing something privately, there may be a value to it, in that you won't be creating a chel Hashem. The Gemara gives a very simple resolution. If you have the ability to conquer your Yetzer Hara, obviously the better thing to do is not to yield to your Yetzer Hara. And that's what our Mishnah is describing. Our Mishnah is describing somebody who has the ability to conquer his Yetzer Hara, but not really interested in fighting the fight, and therefore violates an Aver B'Seser. He's not Chosh L'Kvod Kono. But the statement of Rav Elai is describing somebody who cannot fight his Yetzer Hara. His Yetzer Hara literally is getting the best of him. And so for such an individual, so then do the advice of Rabbi Elai. How seriously are we supposed to take the advice of Rabbi Elai? Meaning a lemaisa? So take a look at Tosfos over here. And we saw another version of this discussion back in Moed Katan, where Tosfos says no. What he's advising is a way of fighting your Yetzer Hara. Meaning by the time that you wear the back clothing and go to another place, you're going to realize how ridiculous it is to what extremes you're going in order to yield to temptation. And basically at that point in time, hopefully you will realize that what you're doing is just silly.
What's the advice between choosing bad and worse, choosing bad above worse?
Yeah, right, correct. Meaning, correct, right. Given the options, right, that would be the better option. Not that it's good, but it's a better option. Darish Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, Mitur Gamne, Darish Lakish, Kal Mestako, Begimel Dvarim, Einav, Chaos. Looking at three things caused the diminishment of eyesight. Number one, Bekeshus. Number two, Benasi. Number three, Kohanim. So we're going to go through each one. Keshet Zichziv Kamaria Keshet Asher Yeh Banam B'Yam HaGeshem Homar Demos Kvod Hashem. So we just quoted the Pasuk. Looking at the rainbow is similar. It's analogous to looking at Kvod Hashem. Ben Nasi Zichziv Nasata Me'odecha Alav. And the Nasi has Hod Hashem. The splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is placed on the Nasi. And so therefore, again, looking at a Nasi is tantamount to looking at the Shechina. And the Kohanim, when there was the Beit HaMikdash, and they would bless the Jewish people using Shema Meforash. So again, there's an element of Shechina, and so therefore it'll diminish your eyesight. So these three things diminish the eyesight. Again, another discussion, which I'll just quickly mention, and that is Bizman Hazeh. It sounds like from the Gemara that Bizman Hazeh, there's no problem of looking at the Kohanim when they duchen, because it's only when there was a Beis HaMikdash and they're using Shema Mefarsh. You take a look at Tosfos over here, third Tosfos on the Amud, where he discusses what about Bizman Hazeh. Basically, he says there's another issue, which is Hesach Hadas. It will divert your concentration from the bracha. And that's why even with manenu, one should not look at the Kohanim. Darsh Rav Yehuda Rav Nechemia Mitorgam Nei Deresh Lakish Mai Dechsev Al Ta'aminu Bera Al Tiftechu Ba'aluf. Al Ta'aminu Bereya. Right? Don't trust your friend and don't trust the Aluf. What does that mean? Im Yom Lecha Yetzar Hara Chatov HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mochel. Yetzar Hara says to you, look, I got a great game plan. You'll sin and then you'll do tshuva. So al ta'amein shenem al ta'amein bereya ve'in reya ela. I'm sorry, al ta'amein bereya ve'in reya ela yitzahar shenem ki yitzalev adam ra. That's the yitzahar talking. That's a strategy of the yitzahar. In other words, it's just to get you to do sin. Are you going to do tshuva? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the yitzahar doesn't care. In other words, the yitzahar just wants you to commit the avera. So it's just a justification. Two. Ein aluf alakosh baruch hu shenem aluf nari atai. Shema tamar mi made be. So the Gemara says, well, who's going to testify? So the Gemara says, many. Many are going to testify. Avne base of a curse, base of shal adam hei maidem bo. So number one, the stones and all the constructive material of your house are going to testify against you. Shenemar ki evan mikir tizak v'kapay me'etz ya'anenu. The wood of your house is going to testify. V'chachamemom nishmas v'shal adam hei'idem bo. Your neshama is going to testify against you. Shenemar mishkavas chaykecha shamor piskei picha. Ezu davish shalchevas. What lies inside of you? Shal Adam Chahavi Omer Zeneshama. Neshama will testify against you. I understand the dilemma, but basically the Gemara is saying Akash Baruch Hu is going to know about it. What the Gemara means over here in terms of who, what's the conduit of that information? I don't know. I don't know what you know. What's behind the Gemara in terms of right? How is the Akash Baruch Hu going to find out? The two malachim who are escorting you, so they're going to testify about you. Okay. And then finally, the yeshamrim, right? We have in our gemara the chachamim omrim evar shal adam eidem bo shenemar ve'atem edayno mashem ve'anikel. Your limbs are going to testify against you. I don't know what's going on over here in terms of who is going to testify against you, but Kadosh Baruch Hu will find out. Okay. That takes us to the end of our Gemaras over here. I wish everyone a Ksiva Chsima Tova, a good Gemen Shira for everybody, a year of health, a year of success, a year of Parnasa, and a year of Limud HaTorah.